اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، بلك باب القلب مفتوح اهلا يا زكاة الروح، بلك باب القلب مفتوح اهلا يا زكاة الروح، اهلا يا شهر رمضان.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, first of all, I congratulate you all on this holy month. Alhamdulillah, it's been cited in several places, so inshallah, officially we'll begin our fasting from tomorrow. It was suggested that I speak a little bit about the month of Ramadan itself. The idea of kind of how we benefit from this month will be something that inshallah is a refresher and reminder for all of us, especially myself. I'll start off with the timeless words of the Holy Prophet, how he described this month. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّهُ قَدْ أَقْبَلَ إِلَيْكُمْ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ بِالْبَرَكَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ. That the month of Allah, out of all of the months of the year, obviously belong to God. But he says, out of all of the months, this is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شَهْرٌ هُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ الشُّهُورِ. This is the best of months. وَأَيَّامُهُ أَفْضَلُ الْأَيَّامِ وَلَيَالِيهِ أَفْضَلُ الْلَيَالِي. The nights are the best of nights, the days are the best of days. The khutbah continues, the moments are the best of moments, right? And it comes to this part, he says, well, even your breaths, anfasukum fihi tasbih, even actions which we do without willing or without wanting, we breathe, it's natural, it's from God, we do that, those are considered tasbih. And this month, our sleep, naumukum fihi ibadah, وَعَمَلُكُمْ فِيهِ مَقْبُولٌ. Our actions are accepted, our sleep is also worship. So now in a special month like this, how can we take advantage of this month? What can we do to really get the most benefit possible out of this month? More than that, how can we use this month to close the gap between us and the return of our Master? Right? Because if this is the best of times, we want to use it the best possible way. And inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, let's talk about the most important things that we can do, inshallah, in this month. One of the things that we want to definitely do in this month, and this is for all of us, starting with myself, is the idea of redeveloping that close feeling of closeness to God. That we serve a good God, that God loves us, that feeling of closeness. They call it ons, to feel that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to obviously talk about tawbah and turning back to God, and if there's any mistakes that we make, how do we fix that? But before that, and in order to have motivation to make tawbah, I have to know that I serve a good God. God who cares about me, loves me, knows me as an individual. Very important. It's very important actually in the spiritual path, and I'll talk about why it's so important in the spiritual path. The advice that some of the urafa, some of God's friends have given us. Right? But it's very important in the spiritual path that I think good of God. We have some ahadith, in some ways we might describe them as scary. Right? Scary ahadith. But they're good ahadith too. Okay? Good and sometimes a little bit scary for somebody like myself. How? One of the ahadith, actually it's more than one hadith, one of the sayings that we have from the Ahlul Bayt is that God deals with us, God deals with the believer based on his or her expectations of him. The hadith, the instructions from the Ahlul Bayt are think good of God, God deals with you based on your expectations. The ones that part I mentioned was a little bit scary, it says, in khayran fa khayra. If it's good, then good. وَإِن شَرًّا فَشَرًّا. God forbid anybody think bad of God. God's out to get me. God doesn't like me. God's not going to help me. God forbid that person might bring down sometimes bala on themselves. So thinking good of God, benefiting. And it matters even in how our prayers are answered, right? That feeling, I know God loves me. God's going to help me. It matters. I heard a story once. They said that once there was a man who wanted to come to America, a long time ago, before there were airplanes, these things, and he came on a ship. So this guy was coming on the ship, and obviously you had to save up a lot of money to be able to ride on a ship to go across, let's say, from England, from one of these countries to America. So he saved up all of his money, and he finally bought a ticket. And he's sitting in the ship, and he's sailing. But the thing is, he didn't have enough money to pay for the food on the ship. So all he could do was pay for the ship itself, and then what he did was he stuffed his suitcase full of cheese and crackers. So he's sailing on the ship. And it takes a while to get from Europe to America, so it takes a while. And he's listening to everybody else. And everybody else is going, and they're getting good food, rubbing their bellies, fancy stuff on the ship. He's suffering. They said sometimes the guy would dream about the food they were having. But finally, one of the passengers came to him one day, and he said, brother, he said, why don't you come over and have some of the food? There's a restaurant here on the ship. I was very embarrassed. He said that, I'm really sorry. He said, but I can't afford the food that's on the ship. I could just afford the ticket. I have my cheese and crackers. The guy was really surprised. He looked at him. He said, strange guy. He said, don't you know that you paid for the food with your ticket? So what happens sometimes, we deny ourselves the goodness of God. We're like, sometimes like that man on the ship, there's a lot Allah wants to give us. If that relationship is there, if that kindness, that feeling God's going to help me, if that's there. If that's not there, we have no one to blame but ourselves. So thinking good of God. Now, obviously, Islam is a religion that requires action also. It's not just, you know, as our Christian friends might say, Jesus loves me, right? It's not just that, right? There's also amal, there's wajibat, duties, right? And this month is a month of tawbah and action. So, before I move on, though, so now what I'm saying from moving on from the goodness of God is to make tawbah for any actions and anything that might be there in our personal lives that might be the reason that the imam's not here, right? Because the imam is looking for an obedient ummah. If we're not obedient, if we're not, we're claiming we want him, but we're not doing what he says, then so we want to make tawbah from that sort of thing. But the idea about tawbah now, the point that I said I was going to share from these awliya, these warafa, what they explained to us, they say that when you make tawbah, it goes now to thinking good about God. When you make tawbah, you've got to believe God's forgiven you. Once you make sincere tawbah, right? I'm trying to go back to God. I want to leave my sinful life. I want to go back to Him. I want to be close with Him again. Sometimes what happens is deep in people's hearts, they feel that I've done so much wrong, God won't forgive me. God's still waiting. God still has things against me. That initial feeling of love and concern and uns, that's not there. But what they tell us, this is based on a hadith. The hadith tells us, At-ta'ib min al-dhamb kaman la dhamb lah. The person who makes tawbah from sin is like the person who has no sin. God's forgiven. It's all over. I can start afresh. But I have to believe that. More than that, the verses of the Quran tell us God loves those who make tawbah. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Right? Surah Baqarah, verses 222. Allah loves those who make tawbah. This is the month of coming back to God, getting reacquainted with God, feeling close to God again. This is the month. This is the time. The best of moments, best of time, best of days. Get reacquainted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the other thing though, is that after tawbah, after turning away from that sinful life, right, I have to follow God as He wants to be worshipped. Right? It's not just saying astaghfirullah. Right? Tawbah is feeling that sense of regret in the heart. I want to change. We learn from the ahadith, I intend not to go back. I might slip later, but I can't make the niyat. Inshallah, I'm saying astaghfirullah. Inshallah, tomorrow, 8 o'clock, same time, same place. Right? That can't be how it works. I'm making the niyat never to go back. I feel that heart sense of regret. And after that, obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God wants to be worshipped. Right? And of course, it's in our interest. Let me share one of those verses of Quran with you that gives us an idea of how we should be towards God. Once we've made that tawbah, once we want to go back to Him. This is in Surah 3, Surah Ali Imran, verses 132. You can look at it yourselves. This is what God says. وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ Obey Allah. وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ Obey Allah, obey His Messenger. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ Maybe God will have mercy on you. لَعَلَّ Maybe. Right? So the God we worship, very different from the God others may have been presented in other religions. Maybe God will have mercy. Work, act, do. Obedience. So Islam is not a religion that just says, no, as long as you feel good, you and God, we've got it good. No, you're not Allah's cousin. Right? Allah doesn't have any cousins. We're not Allah's cousins. We have to go over and do what God says, what God wants. Submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obeying Allah, what we're going to talk about is the idea of obeying Allah in a comprehensive fashion. In every area of my life, there aren't any favorite wajibat that I do. I have my favorite wajibat, I do those, I'm good with it. No. Everything Allah said, wherever He said it, however He wants to be worshipped. Very important. Now, when we're talking about that, because this is the month of fasting, one of the actions which God has made wajib on us, and it's very interesting to see how fasting, siyam, has become part of our Islamic culture. Many of you brothers and sisters are from Muslim countries, originally. You're from Muslim countries. And one of the things, Allah blessed me to be in the Islamic Republic for a period of time, alhamdulillah. One of the things that was very interesting in the Islamic Republic was that during the month of Ramadan, the crime rate would drop. Criminals, right? People are bad guys. They're not necessarily the greatest of Muslims. You wouldn't say alayhi salam after you said the person's name. That Muslim, in the month of Ramadan, this same bad guy would be worshiping, would be fasting. And the crime rate drops. You'd be surprised. People are a lot more peaceful. Just one of the blessings of Islam. Now, what happens with this fasting? How did God do? What did God do? One of the things that God did that made fasting so much of something that we take seriously is the punishment if you don't fast. Right? One of the things that's happened is, if you don't fast, what happens? For each day, one of the expiations, 60 days of fasting, first 31 days in a row, more than the month of Ramadan, and then the other 29 before the year comes around. So 60 days of fasting, even if I'm a bad guy, I'm like, no, I'll fast. They said there was one Muslim, he was not a very good Muslim, but they noticed that he was one of those guys who was so bad he used to break his fast. He would eat during the day, but they noticed he was eating suhoor before. So they said, brother, you're not even fasting, why are you eating suhoor? He said, well, no, if I don't eat suhoor, then I'll be a kafir. Right? So we don't want to be like that, right? We want to be, no, I'm fasting, I do the wajib part. Now, when we talk about fasting, we don't want to think that fasting is just not eating and not drinking. No. When we look at the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, and we're talking now about closing the gap, getting ready for the return of the Imam of the time, what do we have to do? What does God want from us? We talk about that, we find out that fasting, when we look at the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, is much more than just refraining from eating and drinking. We have a hadith about it. Inna siyam laysa min at-ta'am wash-sharab wahda. From Imam Sadiq. It's not just not eating and not drinking. Actually, there's a story the Imam relates from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
What happened was, the Prophet noticed that there was a woman and he heard her swearing at, using foul language with her servant, a slave girl who belonged to that woman. Servant, somebody worked in her house, for instance. He noticed the woman was using foul language, tasubbuh. So the Prophet, after that, they said he offered her some food. He's like, Bismillah, have some food, eat. And the woman was like, well, no, I'm fasting. He said, you're fasting? You're using foul language? You're fasting? Oh, wait. Then he explained those same words. Fasting is not just about refraining from eating and drinking. Brothers and sisters, this month, we want to talk about what are the practical sides to Islamic spirituality. Practical irfan, practical akhlaq. What do we have to do? The ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt tell us that it's not just about that. Again, the words of Imam Sadiq. He says, فَإِذَا صُمْتُمْ When you're fasting, he says, after that, protect and guard your tongues. We don't want to just say any sort of thing. Our tongues need to be fasting. Lying, backbiting, accusing people falsely, riba, creating tension. We don't want to be doing any of that. More than that, what else the Imam tells us? He says, your eyes are supposed to be fasting. There are certain things that are forbidden for us to see. We're not supposed to be looking at those things. Also, while we're fasting, the eyes fast. So what we're talking about is that comprehensive fast, avoiding all of the muharramat, avoiding all of those sins, and trying our best to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam continues, he says, not fighting, not quarreling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we're practicing Muslims, but then the manner of dealing with people, the method which I use, even if I'm on the right path, the method I use is not exactly something that God likes. They said once this guy, he was making salat, he was a very revolutionary brother. This brother was very revolutionary. So he's making salat, and he said, Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahba. And then Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So one of the brothers was listening, and he's like, you can't add another sentence in the salat. So after the salat, he was like, bro, you can't say Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahba. You got it. The guy looked at him, kind of angry. He got up for his next salat. Got up for his next salat and looked at him. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahba. Makbar Zidni Vilayati Faqih. That. Some of it is akhlaq. Treating people nicely, not quarreling, not fighting. These things are very important for us. So, what we're trying to do is kind of look inside for this month of Ramadan. Look inside. Where is it in our lives, brothers and sisters, in my life? Let's start with me, each one of us, looking inside. Where is it in my life that I'm not obeying God? I'm not living my life the way the Imam who's present, who's watching, who's witnessing this gathering, and gatherings all around the world. When the Imam looks at my life, where is it that he sees my actions and sees not pleased? Introspection, looking inward, fixing myself, bettering myself, becoming. Now what I want to do is I want to give some examples. Examples of areas for us to think about, make sure that we're obeying Allah in these areas. Right? For instance, one of the areas is the family. When the Imam looks at me as a father, as our sisters, as mothers, brothers and sisters, siblings, children, right? Can we say, now Allah's watching, the Imam's watching, can I say I'm a good brother, a good sister, a good parent, a good husband, a good wife? Or maybe there's some area, some room for improvement, right? Now, if anybody's really brave, when they hear something like this, they're like, no, I'm Imam Ali, everything's right. Okay? Most of us, we're not Imam Ali. None of us are Imam Ali. There's room for improvement, right? For our sisters, where is it that I'm not, that I could improve in my relationship with my husband? For us as fathers, for us as parents, Muslim parents, husbands, children, right? How can I be a better Muslim? How can I please Allah? The Imam's watching me. Allah's watching me. This is the month of Ramadan. My actions mean the Imam either comes sooner or later. So, now, also another thing is sometimes, now, it's also true that because we're not Imam Ali, let's say there's a sister listening, and she's like, well, my husband's not Imam Ali. And I'm like, you know, alhamdulillah, that's true, he's not. You're not Lady Fatima either, but you know, he's not Imam Ali. That's true. But what happens is sometimes our focus is others. So what happens is I look and I see that other people haven't exactly been nice. Right? You're telling me about to be a good, better wife or a better husband or a better father or a better child, but the other sibling, the other person in my life, they haven't been good. Should I wait on them? Actually, one of the things you learn from the Ahlul Bayt, teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, is to forgive others so you can be forgiven. Not to be vengeful. I heard a story once, they said that there was this lady and her husband, they went to court. When they went to court, the husband had been found guilty of stealing a can of peaches. So the judge was saying, you stole a can of peaches? He said, how many peaches are in that can? He said, six. He said, well, there'll be 6 days in jail for you. He was about to use the gavel and pronounce the sentence. His wife stood up. She's like, Your Honor, can I speak? He He said, yes, what do you have to say? So I'm his wife. Okay, well, what do you have to say? Well, Your Honor, he stole a can of peas also. So some people, they're like that. They're vengeful, right? Not forgiving, right? But the Islamic way to be is actually to be forgiving. To forgive, to be forgiven. To forgive, to be forgiven. Right? So not only improving my own relationship, but also forgiving others. Right? We want to go past the sirat. Right? We don't want to get held back in the hellfire. Right? There's a saying from one of the urafa, beautiful saying. Heard it for the first time. Very beautiful saying. He said that what I do is before I ask Allah for forgiveness. He said, I always do this. Before I ask Allah for forgiveness, I tell Allah, talk to Allah. I said, oh Allah, anybody who's done wrong to me, anybody who's taken my wealth, has mistreated me, harmed me, done bad to me, whoever that is, everybody, whoever's done wrong to me, I've forgiven them. I've forgiven every single person who's ever done wrong to me. And he says, now Allah, if you don't forgive me, right, I'm willing to forgive everybody who's done wrong. If you don't forgive me, then I'd be better than you, and that's impossible. You've definitely forgiven me. Definitely forgive me. I'm going to forgive everybody. Not holding anything in my heart. By the way, when we say forgive, that means it's a clean slate. Right? Some people forgive, but they still remember. They got memories like elephants. Right? So you're like, well, I said sorry. Yeah, you did. Right? And then you do the same mistake again. Oh, well, number two. Strike two. Right? We're talking about when we're saying forgiveness. Forgiveness completely. Nothing. Clean slate. Before the person goes to the grave, they said once, there was this old guy, and he was terminally ill. Old guy, terminally ill, on the deathbed. And then from the deathbed, he could smell the smell of fresh chocolate chip cookies, his favorite kind. Chocolate chip cookies. He's on his deathbed. He struggled, and he got himself out of bed, made his way downstairs, got to the kitchen, reached over there, was about to grab a chocolate chip cookie, and his wife hit his hand with the spatula. He said, well, why'd you hit my hand with the spatula? She said, those are for the funeral. So some people, they're ready to forgive after, right? We're saying in the person's life. In the person's life to forgive. Now to forgive. Now to let go. So that Allah lets go. Really important. So, what else? Another thing, now we're talking about just areas for us to look in our lives and make sure we're doing everything God says and God wants. One of those areas, very important to look in, is halal earnings. Making sure, God forbid, I'm not bringing haram to the table. Oh, by the way, they have scary hadith about that too, right? They say, this is from Al-Sadiq, he says, kasbul haram, haram earnings, he says it shows up in the children. Kasbul haram yabinu fi dhurriya. In your dhurriya, in your children. Sometimes we have wayward children. Sometimes it might be I'm bringing haram home. And I'm not just talking about buying halal. Some people, no, I buy halal. I buy halal chicken. What about the money that you earn? Is that money halal? But halal chicken, the money halal? So I'm going to make sure that my earnings, there's nowhere, and this is a little bit difficult because we're living in a non-Muslim country, to make sure that the money I'm bringing in is money God said is lawful. I'm bringing that home. I don't want to make any mistakes in that regard. In addition to that, right, when we're looking in those areas of life, making sure I'm paying my religious responsibilities, another area sometimes we get slip up in. When we are Muslims, right? This is how some of our ulama explain when we look at the fiqhi explanation of the wujub of khums. Right? Khums is wajib, no Shia, no Sunni. Everybody has to say that because it's in the Quran. Right? Khums. Now what happens is, with khums, is the way some of the ulama explain to us, they say that with every dollar you earn, right? For as soon as you started earning, I'm a young man, I'm going to school part-time, I'm earning. From every dollar you earn, one-fifth of that is God's money. One-fifth of that's God's money. Now, what the Ahlul Bayt have taught us, what God allows, is you can use God's money, that one-fifth, and your own expenses up until 1 year, till your khums year rolls around. You can use God's money, so I can be using my one-fifth, one-fifth of, four-fifths of my money are mine. I've earned it from my halal source, four-fifths are mine, one-fifth of it's God's. I can use that share, God's share, that chumps, and my own needs up until 1 year. After that, when I go over and I look at my savings, one-fifth of that's God's, even if it's $1, right? And you know what some of the scariest ahadith about the Day of Judgment are? One of the scariest ahadith about the Day of Judgment, this hadith, it says from ahaduhuma. So when they say ahaduhuma, either Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam or Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. Sallu ala Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Wa ajil farajahum. He says that the most difficult task, inna ashadda ma fiha an-nas yawm al-qiyamah. The worst thing that people will have to face on the Day of Judgment, and yaquma sahibul khums, the person who is the possessor of khums, person who, Imam al-Mahdi's money, is sahibul khums. When that possessor of khums, when that person stays up, stands up on the Day of Judgment, fayaqul, and that person says on the Day of Judgment, Ya Rab khumsi, oh Allah, I want my khums. That will be difficult to say that I did dhulm to Imam al-Mahdi on the Day of Judgment because I wouldn't pay my khums. So again, that's one of the areas, again, we're looking at all these different areas, myself first, all of you looking in areas to make sure there's no area that we're neglecting God. More than that, what about taking care of the poor? Our social responsibilities. This is the month of sadaqah. Giving, there's so much thawab for giving sadaqah in this month. How are we when it comes to the fuqara, those who are less fortunate than us? Allah has blessed us, Allah has given us. How much are we being careful to make sure that these barakah, these blessings that Allah has given us, we turn around and we give to those who are less fortunate? Very important for the month of Ramadan. Of all of the times to give sadaqah, this is one of those times. And we start with our own, by the way. It doesn't mean we don't give sadaqah to those who are non-Muslims. Actually, in the verses of Quran, when you look at the ayat which talk about zakat, one of the things is for ta'lif al-qulub, right? To bring people closer to Islam. It doesn't mean that we don't ever take care of others, no. But we do start with our own. There's another story I'd like you guys to hear. It's about a man named Mu'alla, one of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Mu'alla is telling this story. He says that when I was there with Imam Sadiq, I saw Imam comes out of his house and something spills out of the Imam's hands. The Imam makes a dua. He says, Bismillah, Allahumma rudda ilayya. Make this come back to me. Rudda alayya. So he goes forward and he sees there's bread, for instance, the Imam was carrying some food and this stuff has spilled. So he goes over and he's trying to help the Imam. The Imam says, give me a hand, help me get this bread back. They go and they take the bread, start giving it back. Now the Imam's going to carry the bread to go give to the fuqara, to the poor, himself, the Imam of the time. So he says, can I carry it? The Imam says, no, I'm going to carry it, but you can come with me. They go to an area and the people in that area, they're sleeping. And the Imam goes and he gives each one of them two pieces of bread, this, that, and the other. Then one of the guy after that, he tells the Imam, he says, Ya'arafu ha'ula al-haq? Do these people know the truth? Are they Shia? The Imam says, if they were Shia, I would have given them salt also. If they were Shia, I would have given them salt also. So the Imam is the Imam of all. The Imam gives, and our kindness extends to all. But if you're Shia, I'll give you salt also. It's an incentive to become Shia. It'll be cold-blooded if I treated my fellow Shia brothers and sisters like everybody else. I'll be cold-blooded. We want to look out for our own first, take care of my own people. But of course, we also look out for others. Now, the last point is this. What about our social political responsibilities? Part of it was our social lives, right? Taking care of those others and looking out for people. But we don't stop there. This is one of the differences between true Islam and secular Islam. One of the differences that between the Islam of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam and the Islam Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa
ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad
and the Islam that's friendly to the tyrants. What's the difference? One of the differences is this, that we say that we have a global responsibility, not just a local responsibility, a global responsibility to take away oppression from the world. The Islam of the Prophet teaches us that we are against the zalim whoever they are, however powerful they are. Dhulm is dhulm. Oppression is oppression. And the Islam that we're taught, the Islam that we're taught by the Ahlul Bayt, is not one that just focuses us on the past. It also talks about the Yazid of the time. Let me give you, this is a statement from Imam Hussein. All of you have heard it, right? Listen with me to the Arabic and see what the Arabic says, okay? Imam Hussein talking. وَعَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ السَّلَامِ Right, we've all heard this. وَعَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ السَّلَامِ Islam is going to be finished. Islam is going to be over. إِذْ قَدْ بُلِيَتِ الْأُمَّةِ If the ummah is afflicted, is tried, بِرَاءٍ مِثْلِ يَزِيد Islam is finished, if it's afflicted, with a ruler like Yazid. Not that Yazid. It was never a personal battle, Imam Hussein and Yazid. No, like Yazid. Rulers like Yazid. We have rulers like Yazid and Shimr and Muawiyah right now. Right? And by the way, it's not ISIS. Right? The only, you know, ISIS, those bad guys. No, no, no. Who created ISIS?
CIA.
There we go. Right? So for instance, what I wanted to remind us about was the Day of Quds, right? That's an important day for the month of Ramadan. Right? We're preparing from now. Get ourselves ready. Right? Islam is that whole complete picture. Yes, in my spiritual life, between me and God, with me, my family members, my friends, neighbors, co-workers, and also the madlumin and the oppressed around the world. So all of those are part of our activities. Now, what the plan is for this month is, inshallah, under the leadership of Maulana Badi, there's a very comprehensive program for all of us, inshallah. One of the things that we'll be doing, very important for self-building, is reciting Qur'an in this month. There'll be emphasis on us reciting Qur'an, inshallah, as a jama'ah, as a group. We actually, sessions will be reciting Qur'an, inshallah, maybe a 30th per day. So we'll be trying to do that as a group. Salah and jama'ah, right? Alhamdulillah, some brothers and sisters live close by the center. Other brothers and sisters are making more of a distance. They're making a travel. They're coming here. But praying Salat and Jama'ah, these things are important. For our children praying Salat and Jama'ah, seeing daddy and mommy pray in Jama'ah if those conditions are there. All of these things are important. Right? Akhlaq and self-building. There's going to be a talk, inshallah, by Maulana before Ramadan, if I don't make it, before the iftar, if I don't make a mistake, we'll be talking about akhlaq in the family. Surah An-Nur. How do we benefit, right? In addition to that, then there will be a talk by myself on Surah Musa, right? And how his struggle against Pharaoh. In addition to all of that, one of the things that we learn with self-building is the importance of one-on-one time, right? Because one time we have a big lecture like this, everybody's sitting, but another time is, although Q&A in its own place has its place, right? But the idea of spending one-on-one time, sometimes Maulana is here, I'm here, right? But there's some time where we can actually sit down and talk about personal issues, not only that we talk about issues as a group. I ask you all to join me inshallah in prayer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We ask that Allah forgive the mu'mineen and mu'minat, muslimin, muslimat, the oppressed all over the world. Allah provides them with relief. He protects our ulama, marajim, especially the leader. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah.